Now time to look through the window of baseball with Bruce Jenkins of the Chronicle. We do it for Truett & White, the professional builder's choice, and Marvin Windows and Doors. Bruce, how are you?
Doing fine, Marty. How are you today?
Good. What a week, huh? What a week of baseball. We love it. You know, we talk about it. You never know what's going to happen. Joaquin Andujar always said in one word, you never know. And boy, how about the beginning of this week?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't say it's terribly promising for the Giants, but when you having problems with the rotation, the bullpen, and the outfield, that's not a good recipe. They've blown eight leads. The outfielders aren't hitting. The rotation guys outside of Bumgarner haven't been doing their thing. It has been a real interesting week all over baseball. I enjoyed watching Pablo Sandoval hit a big home run for the Red Sox yesterday. It didn't hold up, but and I've been watching Houston and the Cubs. They're so exciting. See how the Dodgers are doing. They're up and down, and Yasiel Puig looks like he's back. So there's a lot of good stories. None of them involve the Giants, but I think if they could get a nice 5-0 win today with Bumgarner going straight to Melanson, nothing in between, that would be a big relief.
Well, if you don't win today, something's up. I mean, really, with this matchup today with Chacin, who the Dodgers just tattooed an opening day with grand slams and extra base hits and all that.
Yeah.
And, he's a major league pitcher, and he's faced the Giants many times with Colorado, Arizona, and all those teams, but you got your guy going today, and if you ever needed your guy to they joke about no hitters and all this. If you ever needed your guy to come out and say, this is my time, give me the ball, today's the day for him.
Yeah, and, he's been talking about how good he feels. He's really been expressive about how especially good he feels, and that was really evident, over the first five innings of his first start. He gave up a couple runs, but, the two homers and just the great command that he showed. Everything would point to a great outing by him today.
Well, the Melvin Upton era is about to begin, the B.J. Upton era. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, the boss man. They called him B.J. because his dad was the original boss man.
Right.
And he was named B.J. was for boss man junior, but his given name was Melvin, so he's gone back to that. This is a guy who was way back in the 2002 draft, he was considered very, very special. He was a quarterback in high school. He grew up idolizing Jeter. He felt he was going to be that kind of a player. They're comparing him to the great athletes in all sports. And he really looks the part. He's powerful. He's lean. He just is a really good-looking athlete. But, it never really panned out quite the way it did for his brother, Justin. Way, way too many strikeouts. Some flashes. He had an unbelievable postseason in, I think, 2008 for Tampa Bay. He hit seven homers in that postseason leading up to the World Series. But just too many strikeouts. Last year he got traded to Toronto by San Diego, and he completely bombed out there. He hit 196 or something, and they released him. So, the fact that he's still out there makes him really a desperation move for anyone. But the Giants are kind of in that bag, and he's very streaky. If for some reason he were to come in here, get some starts, and make some contact and not join the parade of strikeouts, it'd be a real relief.
Yeah, it's good. Well, you said relief. Was that an intentional segue?
I guess it's just on my mind. Honey, I'll have another one of those relief sandwiches if you don't mind. Thanks.
Well, Melanson, you're not going to be perfect every time, but, these guys have to establish who they are, and as I said earlier in the show, you can't expect them to give you 14 outs a game. Four outs, five outs, six outs maybe, but, 13, 11, 14 outs, you can't do it because somebody's going to fall apart.
Yeah, they're all trying to establish their roles, and they'd like to have set roles, but it's pretty hard to do that when they're so up and down. And, Bochy's, he's just playing it off the cuff and see who's got what. They all certainly have great flashes of brilliance, and we know they have really good arms, and they're young guys. But, I think they really need a Melanson to close a game and then, mm-hmm. Just to kind of establish order without even having to go to those guys. Get what everyone would predict to be a typical Giants win with Melanson closing it out, especially behind Bumgarner. And then, things tend to look a little better. I think guys like Law and Contos, these guys aren't going to be you know, walking the first guy or giving up, you know, grooving fastballs down the middle, home runs. I just don't think that's going to continue. You know, it's not. They've blown eight leads already. I really don't see that continuing quite at that pace by any means.
All right, Bruce Jenkins with us. Here's my thought. You know the Japanese player Ohtani?
Yeah.
Giants should go after him.
I would love to see that.
I don't care what it costs. I mean this sincerely. This is a guy who is a big-time hitter. He can pitch, but he's going to be a big hitter in Major League Baseball. Pence and Span are going to be done. They have no left fielder. They need an anchor outfield guy. And I think this is the guy. I think this is the guy they go after.
Well, you know, it'd be really interesting if they got him because this guy's a legend in Japan. He's not that old, but he's thrown up to 100 miles an hour, and he's a 300 hitter with power. He throws right, bats left, completely legendary. The new CBA makes it very difficult to get the Japanese players over here quickly, but there are apparently some loopholes to where he could get here next year. And you know, imagine what the Giants could do. You've got Bumgarner, one of the best hitting pitchers anyone's ever seen, and probably would wind up doing some pinch hitting, and then you bring in this guy. I mean, he's projected as a DH. You know, we have so many strict standards in here. It's just nobody could even conceive of a guy pitching and then playing left. But why not? Why not? You know, why not have that?
I'm with you. No, I don't care what it costs. Honestly, I mean that sincerely, and it's not my money. But look, this is an organization. It's worth over $2 billion. They sell out every game, and they're in desperate need of that man to play on the team. I say go after him.
Yeah, and you know the Giants really triggered the Japanese imports with Murakami many years ago. There's a great Japanese fan base. It would just be a terrific thing all around. I think it would work out a lot better than Shinjo.
I think you're right. Hey, yeah. I'm glad you brought up around baseball because some interesting things are happening. The Cardinals, look, how'd you like the Molina situation where the ball – now, how does that happen, as Gary Radnich would say? How does that happen?
Yeah, I mean, I guess he rubbed a little, you know, the pine tar off his hands onto his chest protector. I mean, I can't believe he'd load up the chest protector intentionally with pine tar. That wouldn't make a whole lot of sense. But he's looking around for the ball, and it's stuck in his belly button area. it's just like the old phrase, you see something new every time you go to the ballpark. I mean, what the heck was that?
I've never seen that in my life.
No.
It's like Velcro. It was like, it was crazy. Yeah, that was crazy. The Mets, Syndergaard, DeGrom, Harvey, three good starts. Now, Wheeler got lit up, and I forgot who their fourth starter was. But
Gesselman?
One of them. I forget who it was. But those three, a good sign for the Mets.
Well, yeah, I think for Wheeler it was a triumph just that he got out there and threw, you know, quite a few pitches. It didn't work out so well, but, you know, this guy's been out forever. And now he's back. They need him. You know, Mats is on the shelf. You never know when somebody else is going to go down in that rotation. That was it's good to see him. You know, this is a guy the Giants had, traded him for Beltran. They haven't been hurt by that trade yet. But Wheeler's about ready to unleash. You know, he really throws hard. He appears to have his stuff. So, yeah, that'll be really worth following to see if he becomes like a big-time starter.
How do you like the Colorado bullpen so far?
I like Colorado.
See, you're coming around finally after all these years.
You know, this homestand, you know, with Arizona and Colorado, I mean, it sounds like, you know, a kind of a homestand where you'd clean up and open the home season in style, but it's not going to be a breeze. I mean, we know Colorado can really, really hit. Man, can they hit! But I'm glad to see it. I'm really happy for Bud Black and the great manager. You know, guys like Arenado. Heaven knows they're due for a little change in the style, the play that they unleash every year, which never seems to work. But maybe they got a little more pitching.
Well, if you got a bullpen, you can win. I mean, that's and they have Ottavino and McGee and Dunn, and they've got guys Estevez. They've got people that can get it done. So we'll see where it goes. I thought the best rumor of the week, this one got me, was Clint Frazier of the Yankees. Did you hear this one that Susan Waldman reported?
He wanted number 7. You have to deny it, but he probably did say it. But once he finds out what it means, he has to deny it. Well, of course, I didn't say that. It's the Mick.
I thought that was good. That shows us what age we're living in, I guess.
Yeah, not every kid is a baseball historian like I was, and I'm sure you were.
No, not really. And then last one, the oddities of baseball. I love this kind of stuff. Yesterday we had a pitching matchup, or 2 days ago, Blake Snell against Marcus Stroman. And it's the first time two pitchers with single-digit numbers have started against each other since 1941. Johnny Schmitz, number 7 for the Cubs. He was a pretty good left-handed pitcher. And Johnny Hutchings, who I never heard of, number 5 for the Braves. How about that?
I never heard of either one of those guys. Well, you know, there you go. Once again, there's yet another oddity. I'm sure that probably didn't dawn on too many people as it unfolded, but the stat people get involved in stuff, and you go, "Oh my God, what a thing!"
I love it because it brings you back to a moment. It's alive, it's 75 years ago, but you know, you're talking about something you could just sort of see the uniform on the field. I don't know. It's what I like about baseball.
Well, yeah, I think it's just in general, I think it's easier to compare eras in baseball. You know, the dimensions are the same. You look at these old films, and there's the eight guys out in the field look just like they are now. It's 60 feet, 6 inches, and 90 feet between the bases. You're swinging the bat. The guy's throwing the ball. I mean, rules change, things change, you know, pretty drastically. But basically, the essence of the game is the same, and I just that's really a terrific thing.
And you got to play them all, so it's one day at a time. All right, great to talk to you. We'll talk to you tomorrow. I got more of these. I really did a little research this week. A lot of crazy stuff in baseball the first week.
Tomorrow will be Oddities Day.
Okay, very good. Have a good night. Thanks, Bruce.
Thanks, Marty.
All right, very good. That's Bruce Jenkins of the Chronicle. More coming up on the Sports Leader.